Okay, it's by the Swan Silvertones. It's a VJ LP. Some of the first music I really got with was gospel music. And as a matter of fact, the first record I ever made was with a gospel group in Charleston, West Virginia. Yeah, it's a super bad record, man. I ought to play it.
It's your first record.
Yeah. Oh, he knows all about our first record.
Yeah, I knew about some of the first records. I was trying to get clearance on playing some of the early stuff on the air, but we'll get around to that some other night because you'll be up here. I know... The immediate reaction to most groups, you say, look, man, I'd like to play your early stuff. Don't do that.
It's some just of it is interesting.
Yeah, some of it's difference. Interesting because you can see the differences. I was talking about writing album liner notes last night, and I said that I finally figured out the way to do it was to sign a different name to them all so that years later, man, my name wouldn't be on it because I know how ridiculous it's going to look that much further on. I noticed you didn't have any liner notes on your album.
No,
it's because none of us can read very well.
None of us can write either.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, what would you want to say in liner notes?
Well, the only person who could have conceivably written our liner notes would have been Geezy. And by the time that the album came out, it just didn't seem right.
Yeah.
Even to approach him about it.
Yeah.
So we decided not to do it.
After all, it is a record. It's not a magazine.
That's right, it's not a magazine.
Right. However, though, if anybody wants to peel back the label, there's hieroglyphics engraved in the wax.
Beautiful. Then you may be tearing LPs apart all over the city. Have you had any talk about bookings in, let's say, faraway places as a result of the LP?
Yeah, we're going to New York. We're going to New York.
We are?
Yeah.
We're going to New York.
We're going to New York the 1st of June.
The 1st of June?
Like it, yeah.
Where are you going to work there?
I'm not sure. I think the Cafe at Go-Go.
Yeah. I've heard that, I'll tell you, I like the sound system there to the extent that I dig some of the things have been recorded there. Because they recorded things live and they seem to work pretty well.
Yeah, they recorded like the blues project, but they have a lot quieter of a scene going than we do. I don't know. I hope to go there and just turn up real loud and play real loud and
Okay.
Lethal doses.
All right,
you heard about the sound gun?
No, tell me about the. Oh yeah, sound guns that they're doing things with. There's a whole article.
7 cycles a second.
There's an article in Playboy magazine.
This is a different. That's ultrasonics, high frequencies.
Right.
This is
low frequency, subharmonic.
They use a police whistle, 18 feet across.
Right, and a common air compressor or whatever the heck it is, and it puts out this 7 cycle per second thing, which starts your whole insides vibrating, and you eventually die.
Kill a man 5 miles away with the sound.
Imagine it.
Well, how about if you only had it on you for a little while, man? Would that make it any better?
Make you sick. In fact, when they were testing it out, when they were trying whatever they were doing with it to see what it would happen, everybody got sick. For miles around, they all got sick. They had headaches, you know, and they were, and everybody was very unhappy with the whole thing. Of course, nobody's as unhappy as us musicians.
Okay, let's get back to your top 40 then.
Oh, yeah.
Here's number 2. This is another gospel thing, which is a little more crazy than the first one. Less disciplined, you might say. It's by Charlie Mingus. And
it's called?
Oh, that's right. Wednesday night prayer meeting.
That's it. Thank you.
That's Charlie Mingus in Wednesday night prayer meeting. This is Tom Donahue at KMPX 107 on your FM dial. We're playing records until midnight. Our guests tonight are Jerry Garcia and Phil Lesh of the Grateful Dead, who have the number one bestseller in San Francisco with their current Warner Brothers LP. They're shaking hands, but they don't have the money yet. You know, it's that kind of thing, right? And the album's done unbelievably well outside of town. I haven't checked your list completely, man. Are you going to place anything from it?
No,
we don't get a chance to tear it apart or anything like that and say, man, why
we can talk about it.
Sure.
Why did you blow that note there? how do you feel about the album yourselves, personally?
I feel like it's a turd.
Yeah, not where you wanted to be.
Well, no, it was where we were at the time.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's something we did. It's all over with. And it's
the next one certainly won't be anything like that one.
No.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That one. Anyway.
Yeah.
The way we sort of... It's like that one is sort of an attempt to try and sound like the way the stuff that we do live with the same instrumentation and everything. There's not really anything unconventional for us in there.
But that's impossible to do in a recording studio.
Right. So mm-hmm. we're not going to try and bother. We're not going to bother doing that anymore. We're just going to, like, from now on when we go and record, since the first album is doing so nicely, we hope to let us have a lot of time in the studio, and next time we'll do a lot more studio stuff and try and get into that, which is a whole other thing.
Because it's the whole problem of trying to take what live sounds like
right.
and put it on some kind of tape right. or disc. Or
yeah, but you can't do it in a studio. You might be able to do it if you could record a rock and roll band live, you know, at the volumes that we play at live, like at the Fillmore or something like that. And maybe after about 2 or 3 months of every night at the Fillmore, we'd start to get, you know, good cuts, good enough for an album, I mean, in terms of how clean they were and how much we'd like the performance on them, and then we'd have something, but it'd be such an expensive undertaking and long and everything and the studio facilities are so incredible that we should do something with them. So we're going to go in there, you know, and try, you know, something different,
approaching it from a different angle altogether.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Well, there are people who practice the art of recording, and Beatles Phil Spector practice the art of recording now.
That's right.
And when we went in to do the album, we didn't know anything about the art of recording. We knew a little bit about music.
Well, I think there is a potential of this, though, and that is the art of interpretation. Which
interpretation
is,
of what? The recording?
Of which nobody has pinned down. No, the art of interpretation of the sound of a group. I think in time it's conceivable that engineers will come along who actually hear what groups are doing and know how to transplant that sound.
Wouldn't it be more likely to assume that the groups would be able to take over the function of the engineer?
Oh, yeah, that's very possible.
The but I think that would hate it. That's what
yeah,
we're
right. I think that's what every group hopes to do, to sure. get to that point where they can do it.
Right.
Because, you know, it remains another brain between you and what you want to do. Right. And so it's a jump that you have to make right. into his head and then out onto whatever is recorded. Right. And I don't think it's ever been done successfully, really.
I'd say the
Except
Beatles
with the creative. Yeah, well, once again, it's the Beatles doing their thing, though. They're not doing it through through
they've
a producer's head or an engineer. Yeah, well, the engineer obviously has been turned on to what they want.
Right, yeah.
But who knows, man? After the Beatles walk out of a studio, they may be seeing themselves, didn't get it again, man.
Right, cool. Yeah,
because you don't know what they want,
right?
Right,
who knows? Sounds mighty good to us, of course.
How about Blind Willie Johnson?
Oh, Blind Willie Johnson. Yeah, this is Blind Willie Johnson and his wife, Angelina. And Blind Willie Johnson is particularly an interesting slide-style guitarist. He played nothing but sacred music during, I guess, the 20s and 30s and so forth like that, you know, in the streets and all. And his records are valued by old-time record collectors. And this particular song, The Blues Project, also does. Anybody who's heard The Blues Project record that has Lord, I Just Can't Keep From Crying Sometime on it, it's the same song. And this is, I guess, where they got it, Blind Willie Johnson.
Lord, I just can't keep from crying sometime. And my heart full of sorrow, and my heart filled with tears, I keep from crying sometimes. My mother often told me, angel born is to love away. She said I wouldn't accomplish, but trust in God and pray. I'm on the king's highway, I'm trusting him every day, cause I just can't keep from crying sometimes. Well, I just can't keep from crying sometimes. When my heart's full of sorrow and my heart's filled with tears, Lord, I just can't keep from crying. I'm mother, she's in glory. Thank God I'm on my way. Father is gone too, and so that she could not stay. I'm trusting him every day. In Alabama, I'm putting away. Touch, I just can't keep from crying sometimes. Well, I just can't keep from crying sometimes. When my heart full of sorrow and my heart filled with tears, I keep from crying sometimes. I thought when she first left me, I'd grieve a little while. Soon it all would be over, I'd done out with a smile. But the thoughts as I get older, I think of what I told her, and I just can't keep from crying sometimes. Well, I just can't keep from crying sometimes. When my heart's full of sorrow, I'm filled with tears, Lord, I just can't keep from crying sometimes. Well,
okay, that's by Blind Willie Johnson, Lord, I Just Can't Keep From Crying. Our guests tonight are Jerry Garcia and Phil Esch from The Grateful Dead. Ray Charles is next in your schedule. Is this early or late?
Late. Very recent. It's his last single, I believe.
Last single.
Yeah, or the latest.
Do you think the stuff he's cut with ABC has been as good as some of the things he cut with ACCA? He was in a much heavier blues bag, I think, earlier.
Yeah, I always liked the seven-piece stuff and with the raylettes and all like that. It was a real nice sound.
But his big band is one of the tightest going.
Yeah, there's some good big bands. I like the sound that the Bobby Bland group gets, too.
Yeah. Theirs is a lot more funky, I think, than Ray Charles.
Yeah.
James Brown, I think, actually has the best big band, the tightest.
They're real snappy.
Super disciplined.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Two drummers, too.
Smoke on stage during rehearsal, $10. Late for rehearsal, $25. James keeps them in line.
Oh, I bet he does.
Have you thought about that, Jerry?
keeping the boys in line,
dude? Let's try Ray Charles. I don't need no doctor.
I don't need no doctor.
Charles, I don't need your doctor. We're going along with selections tonight from Jerry Garcia and Phil Lesh of the Grateful Dead, and James Brown, whom we were talking about a moment ago, is on the list at the moment. You're picking some fairly recent stuff of James's, too.
Yeah, the Man's World is the one that seemed to me to use the strings first in a new way.
Yeah.
Like, lots of people did records with strings, even jazz musicians, Charlie Parker, Clifford Brown. And it was all mostly, like, little melodies and little chords in the background. But James Brown
is... body stuff.
And this recording uses the strings in a kind of percussive way.
Yeah, very and, groovy.
It sort of seems to me that after that, then the Beatles came out and started using that stuff too. It wasn't with the instruments playing it; it was with manipulation of the tape.
Mm-hmm.
Like on Tomorrow Never Knows, it's violins, and it's tape manipulation, loops, spiral sort of thing.
Okay, let's do it. It's a man's world. That's James Brown. It's a man's world. Let's skip right to the next one, okay? James, and ain't that a groove?
This one speaks for itself.
It's a groove.
All the way. This is Tom Donahue. We're KMPX. It's 107 on your FM dial in San Francisco. Playing records 8 until midnight. Our guest tonight, Phil Lesh and Jerry Garcia of the Grateful Dead. And here's James Brown.
Fellas, girls like to be in
Never did think the man is yellow. Hit me, Ben. You fight real hard to make things right, 'cause he's the only fella. Now, ain't that a groove? Ain't that a groove? Do you hear me, people? Ain't that a groove? Ow! Ain't that a groove? Let me hear. I wanna know, do you love me?
Yes, I love you.
One more time, do you love me?
Yes, I really, really do.
Do you love me, baby?
Yes, I love
you. I just gotta, 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 gotta know. Ow! Hit me, man. Dig this. This will kill you. A little piece of money and plenty of love will keep everything together. Come on, man. Well, forget about the money. Plenty of love. And ain't that mellow? Now ain't that a good? Talk all day, but I want you to get the feel. One more time. Give the band. Look at that band. Uh-huh. I want to ask you, do you love me?
Yes, I love you.
Do you love me, baby?
I love you.
Do you love me? Here we go. Going out. And one more thing I want to say. This is better than Christmas. Christmas only comes once a year. This is all year round. Big Bookie. I'm living. Let me out. I'm gone.
Ain't That a Groove? That's James Brown, and that's from a very recent LP of his. Let's see if we can give you the exact title. It's just, it's a man's, man's, man's world. Amazing, sensational, thrilling, soul brother number one. Doesn't really have a title, just James Brown. Working out on stage, doing his entire thing. Yeah, he's a fantastic showman, to lay another one on you. The act hasn't changed much.
Everybody has the same act in that business.
Right. I saw the basic act, maybe... 56 at the Apollo, you know. But I think that's one of the things people dig about him, because they know they're going to get that, and that's what they want to see. And he's had a lot of imagination, because in his particular area of R&B singing, there are very few who would depart to sing the kind of songs he has on occasion. He's picked up some strange ballads and done them, and, you know.
Well, it's a man's world.
Yeah, really, it's a man's world. Is
far out thing.
Yeah. Well, James is thinking in his own area.
But is he really happy?
That's is he really happy? Smiles a lot, man, if that is anything.
Seems happy.
You ever do any Dylan tunes?
Yeah, we do. Baby Blue. Yeah, it's all over now, Baby Blue. We also used to do She Belongs to Me, too.
Mm-hmm.
Bob used to croon it. Yeah.
This one was...
This is Bob's request, incidentally, too. He said we should play it.
Maybe. Yeah, the particular record had an R&B recording, as a matter of fact. Maggie's Farm.
I heard
Solomon Burke, that's right.
Far out. I heard, James Cotton's blues band do it. Sam Lay sang it, the drummer sang it. It was very interesting.
Okay, let's get with Maggie's Blues as recorded by Bob Dylan.
Scrub the floor. I ain't gonna work on Maggie's farm no more. cigar out in your face just for kicks. His bedroom window is made out of bricks. The National Guard stands around his door. About man and God and law. Everybody says she's the brains behind Ma. She's 68, but she says she's 54. I ain't gonna work for Maggie's Ma no more. Just get bored. I ain't gonna work on Maggie's farm no more.
That's Bob Dylan and Maggie's Farm on KMPX. This is Tom Donahue with you until 12 midnight. KMPX is at 107 on the FM dial. We play records 8 until 12. And if you have an opportunity to listen to the station in stereo here in San Francisco, it's a good way to hear it. Stereo is not necessarily a faithful reproduction, but it's a small thing of its own. Right,
right, right. It's a whole thing of its own, yes, indeed.
Do you, have you listened to your, I guess you've listened to your LP in both mono and stereo, and
yeah,
probably heard it a lot of times. Right,
right? Well, it's, well, we were the ones that mixed it, the mono mix and the stereo mix.
Yeah, but we had a writer on it.
It was where? Western, and with the exception of
RCA.
RCA, rather.
RCA,
yeah.
With the exception of the single, which was cut at Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And the single, I think, sounds more like us than the album does, because it sounds dirtier
and fuller,
yeah, and more stuff going on.
Yeah.
Well, maybe because you're cutting in San Francisco. Maybe it did something to your mind.
I don't know. LA did something.
Well, we did a lot more stuff on the single too. Like, we put a lot more. You know, we overlaid a lot of stuff.
It's a recording rather than
right.
A transcription.
Right, and somehow it comes out sounding more like the way we sound live, just because of the enormous amount of confusion involved. And maybe, you know, it's like we're used to playing in a big place.
And there were more people jammed in the studio at Coast that night.
Oh, that's true.
Because
yeah,
I came in and there were a lot of people.
Right, a lot of people.
Because there's only two ways you can record. One is no people, or the other one is everybody. There's no in between. It just doesn't work.
That's true. That's true. It doesn't work.
And I guess you would rather have a lot, wouldn't you?
Well,
yes.
When we were in LA, we tried to show, you know, we were going to have a big closed session, you know, closed session, absolutely no admittance, and so forth, and a big sign and everything. But, you know.
Everybody showed up anyway.
Yeah, everybody came. So it was okay.
Somebody brings their old lady in, and she's getting in, and I'm getting in, and before you know it, man, they got a studio
right.
Full of people.
It's okay. It turns out it doesn't really seem to make too much difference, you know. The difference that it seems to make is that, like, the better you feel, the better you do.
Yeah.
And if there's a lot of people around, and it's kind of a nice, you know, if everybody's kind of in a good thing, it comes
nice
out a little better. Or at least moves a little faster.
This is recorded in
It was recorded
Paris.
In France,
yeah,
as a matter
right.
of fact, yeah. And it's the Bulgarian folklore scene, you know, it's something like, you know, the Folklorico de Mexico thing.
Yeah.
It's only Bulgarian. And it's all these people who are just like people of Bulgaria, you know, farmers and what have you, workers and so forth, who also are into music, just like I guess everybody is in some way or another. Yeah. This is the music of their own country. Like
the women who sing on this, some of them are quite old, you know.
I imagine.
60s and 70s have been singing this stuff for years.
Right, it sounds like it.
Yeah. There's a weird thing that happens to me when I listen to this album. There was a group around many years ago called the Divorce Sisters. I don't know if you remember. They had a record called Teach Me Tonight once. It was a successful 45. And their voice quality is such that they sound very much like a lot of the women on this record.
Strange vibrato.
Yeah, right. Albert Grossman picked this album up originally.
Well, the thing that I like about this particular cut is the singing is unaccompanied two-part singing, and it's like semitones. And
microtones.
Just the strange, weirdest intervals that you ever heard.
This is from an RCA Victor album that I don't think is available anymore. The album is entitled Music of Bulgaria, and the cut is The Moonshines. That particular cut is entitled The Moonshines. We played some of this on the air here because a lot of people reacted very favorably to it. It's a great sound to listen to. We'll get some other cuts on eventually. You work with Charles Lloyd at any of the gigs you've done?
Rock Hard. Mark and Weekend really had a good time with them, too. In fact, there's been some communication between us and Charles Lloyd just recently. He's been talking to our managers, and we're going to maybe work something out where we're working together in some other situations because we have a good time together.
Yeah. He's great to listen to, and he's building a tremendous audience among a group of people he might never have reached if he hadn't played Blue Dances.
Right.
Because that is exposing to people who ordinarily would never have come across Charles Lloyd in their experience.
Right.
And they listen to what he's doing.
They dance to it, too.
Yeah, and they dance to it, and they like it. Okay, this is Charles Lloyd and Dreamweaver.
Thank you.
Okay, we're listening to Charles Lloyd and Dreamweaver, Tom Donahue at KMPX in San Francisco.
Keep the faith, baby.
Woke up, fell out of bed.
This weekend at the Avalon Ballroom, Sutter and Van Ness in San Francisco, The Family Dog presents the Chambers Brothers. Also at the Avalon this weekend, the Iron Butterfly.
Keep the faith, baby.
That's a thing for the Avalon that Bob McClay produced. Our guests tonight are Jerry Garcia and Phil Lesh of the Grateful Dead. And Charles Lloyd, somebody they work with. They've also worked with Junior Wells.
Yeah.
What was that?
We worked with Junior Wells at the Fillmore Auditorium, right. Yeah.
When he was there, though, he wouldn't do his blues stuff at the Fillmore.
Right, and the band wasn't, you know, the band that he uses with Buddy Guy, he's just, like on this particular record, he's just got a little three-piece band backing him up. And it's just so tasty. This particular cut is, well, I think it's one of the finest single blues band recordings, you know. I mean, just the musically, the way the stuff happens is so nice.
Okay, this is Junior Wells, Ships on the Ocean.
you take me home this morning and make my long hair stand up on my head.
Tasty indeed, Junior Wells and Ships on the Ocean. Now, man, I know you played with Charles Lloyd, and I know you played with Junior Wells. But where'd you play with Leopold Stokowski?
Don't laugh, man.
Someday, you
know. We're
going to
do a thing with a guy named Luciano Berio at the Lincoln Center in September. It'll be an opera.
Yeah, somebody else told me about that.
Canisanilla Berio was also my teacher when I was studying classical.
Tell us a little bit about Berio and some of the things he's done.
Well, Berio is an Italian, and he has composed a lot of music and has been played a lot. And I can't tell you anything about his music except it's all beautiful.
Mm. Mostly Italian marches. Italian marches.
Italian marches.
Okay, well, this particular is not Berio. It's a composition of Charles Ives, Symphony No. 4, and we're going to play the second movement from it.
If you expect it to sound like a symphony,
forget
you'll
it.
Be disappointed.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
And somebody just called to make a comment. Phil,
thank you.
Come over here and tell me what he was saying. He was saying it was like the Beatles' new record.
Well, what he thought was that it sounded like the Beatles' new records, and I was saying that I thought that it was. You know, nobody could say whether or not the Beatles had heard this stuff from Ives or any of the people who did it before or not. I kind of think that they thought of it themselves, because it's possible for you to discover stuff that other people have done for yourself.
Right.
Like a lot of people discovered,
radium or...
Yeah, something like that.
All about the same time.
Yeah, right.
And
a lot of people are into
those things are in the air, and the Beatles have taken the lead in bringing it to popular music, and I'm, for one, I'm glad.
Right, and they do it in their own way. It's the pure Beatles. You know, it's still the Beatles.
And it's still so tasty.
Yeah,
and constantly changing and never hung up on one particular thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we were in no hurry. We weren't going anywhere or anything. But just in case anyone panicked, man, you know, it would do Pig Ben in if we both hung up on him and turned off his radio. You know?
Yeah, sorry about that, Ding.
Pig Ben, we're sorry.
Public apology. Well, I would call Ian and Sylvia a little variety from what we've had up to now. Anything you care to say about them or why you like them or why you picked them?
They just sing good, mostly. And these particular songs, Sylvia sings the one, Jealous Lover. And by yourself, it's enough to chill your bones. And the next one is a fine desperado ballad in a great tradition with some nice guitar playing on it.
Okay, let's try Ian and Sylvia and the Jealous Lover.
Herself in men's attire, and so gaily she was dressed, a-thinking to meet her own true love, the one that she loved best. But when he saw her a-coming, he cried out, "Who is there?" "It is my eldest brother, a-thinking to meet my dear. But how soon will I deceive him, for his butcher I will be. He shall not live to enjoy my love, nor yet to bother me." He fired right at him as he thought, which caused his loved one to fall. And in her tender bosom he lodged a fatal ball. "I fall, I fall, I fall," said she, "I fall unto the ground. Oh, Jimmy, cruel Jimmy, you have gave me my death wound. Come look at the crimson tide that from my heart does flow. Oh, Jimmy, cruel Jimmy, how could you use me so?" And when he saw what he had done, he tore his loving hair. Another loaded pistol for himself he did repair. "I shall die for the love of Mary, I shall die for the life of thee. Come all bold lads and bold lassies, be aware of jealousy."
All right, another one by Ian and Sylvia. This is Four Road By. Phil said it's a desperado song.
Four road by, roll through
kites. And when the wild one stole, he hightailed it in town. Usher in those days was keeping order in the district, but before he'd ridden 30 miles, a McLean boy shot him down. Oh, rode by, rode through here, three McLean boys in that wild Alex hair. A shepherd known as Kelly saw the wild ones as they passed, and they shot him with a rifle, and they took his watch and chain. When the posse found them, they were in the lonely cabin. A hunger took their fight away, and no one else was slain. Oh, rolled I, rolled through here, three McLean boys in that wild Alex hair. Hung the boys in January 1881, the first time in that province that they'd strung up brothers free. And the Sungill 19 Germans crossed the seas back in 17. One thing that's for damn sure, they're a wild old family. Oh, rode by, rode through here, three McLean boys and that wild Alex there.
Ian and Sylvia and Four Rode By. Skip James is the next thing you got. Tell me about Skip James.
He's a famous Delta blues singer, as it says right here on the cover.
Greatest of the.
But everybody thought he was dead for the longest time, and everybody said Skip James, yeah, he's dead. But his old 78s were around, and people would listen to him and all. You know, he's really good, is what it's all about.
And then they found out he was alive.
Right, they found out he was alive.
Glenn Miller will turn up the same way.
And Amelia Earhart, Judge Crater.
Judge Crater, a whole bunch of them. With his trombone, Martin Foreman. I know they're all Argentina, right?
Right.
Okay, this is Skip James in Hard Time
Killing
Floor Blues.
Hard times in every where you go. The times are harder than ever been before. You know that people, they are drifting from door to door, but they can't find no heaven. I don't care where they go. People, if I ever can get up off of this old hard killing floor, Lord, I'll never get out this low no more. When you hear me singing this old lonesome song, people, you know these hard times can't last us so long. Better be sure. Lord, these hard times gonna kill you. Just drive along so.
That's Aretha Franklin, and from her new Atlantic LP, I Never Loved a Man the Way I Love You. We were talking about Phil Spector a little while ago, and the kind of record producing he does, which is totally creative thing from the beginning as a producer. This is one of the great examples of it, I think, this Righteous Brothers record we're about to play. Someday I'm going to have Phil on the show, and there's one thing I'm going to get him to play, and that is a tape of the track for this record.
The instrumental track.
Yeah. With him singing the parts.
Does it exist?
Oh, yeah. I've heard the record. He played it for me one night at his house. You know, he's in that strange baronial mansion he lives in L.A. And I had heard about the record from Bobby Dale and Tommy LaPuma, who's a producer down there, about the tape. And it's, you know, a strange, strange sound. Spector's voice, because he has a really peculiar voice in singing. Has not been heard on record since To Know Him Is to Love Him. Last appearance.
First day.
Was he singing parts in that? Or
yeah.
Probably play. I think he played guitar on it too.
Yeah.
The Mojo Navigator has a thing about all his records.
Yeah, they did a nice discography on him.
Yeah.
He was. Phil had a record out that was probably the first S&M record anybody ever came along with, called She Hit Me and It Felt Like a Kiss, or He Hit Me and It Felt Like a Kiss. Remember that?
All right.
And they finally had to pull it off the market because there were so many protests. And on and on. Here's The Righteous Brothers, and You've Lost That Lovin' Feeling.
You never close your eyes anymore when I kiss your lips. There's no tenderness like before in your fingertips. You're trying hard not to show it, but baby,
You've Lost That Love and Feeling record, slightly scratched. You fellas have been playing in the middle of the night again. Spector has not done anything for a long time. He keeps saying, I'm old-fashioned, I'm totally out of it now, I'm not going to make any more records.
I hear he's making some strange movie in Mexico.
He wants to. He never got down there. The whole project blew up just as everybody was getting ready to get on the boat. But he has been in the studio with Ike and Tina Turner again.
Again?
Oh, yeah. Far out. Good.
Hmm. So,
well, if the results of that one are as good as the last one.
This one. The one coming
the
up.
The one coming up.
Yeah. Well, he had the one record, of course, that was a big success in England.
Which
got
River
to
Deep?
River Deep, Mountain High, which got to, I think, number four on the English charts. And Phil took an ad in Billboard at the time. Do you remember it? With the British flag, and the line was something about... King George was right. Because none of the radio stations in this country would play it at that time. Ike and Tina Turner. Ike Turner is one of the great minds of all time. You ever talked to Ike any period of time?
No.
I'd love to get him on the show sometime. Let him tell the world, you know, how he got started. He's got a great success story. This is the very record we were just discussing. Ike and Tina Turner and a Phil Spector production, River Deep, Mountain High.
When I was a little girl, I had a rag doll, only doll I've ever owned. Now I love you just the way I love that rag doll.
That's by Ike and Tina Turner, River Deep, Mountain High. I don't think that record's ever been played in this town before.
Really?
I know it's never played in any radio station.
That is a crime.
Right. I think we should start playing it every night, man.
I will give you the record if you'll play it
every
night.
All right, good. I'll play it every night, man.
Too much. Please do.
And maybe people will go out and buy it, and we'll put Phil back in business and get him up here. And
that'll be nice.
Yeah. One interview with Phil Spector, and it might be all over for the radio station. You know? Lou Rawls, he's one of the younger blues singers around, does a thing that's, I think, very peculiarly his own.
This is the only record of his that I ever heard, except for Blues for Four String Guitar, which seemed a little bit ostentatious.
You might even say. But he did...
This was really tasty with
that other famous song. What was that?
Tobacco Road.
Tobacco Road.
Right. I saw him working one night in Oakland with... Bobby Bland and Jimmy Witherspoon.
Wow.
Which was a fine trio for an evening. This is Lou Rawls and Trouble Down Here Below.
Well, I know there's peace on the mountain, and that's where I want to I can't have no peace on a mountaintop, 'cause I'm worried and I'm troubled. No, no, it ain't no trouble on a mountain, but there's trouble down here below.
Tom Donahue at KMPX 107 on your FM dial in San Francisco. We're playing records 8 until 12 midnight. Our guests tonight are Phil Lesh and Jerry Garcia from the Grateful Dead. Gotta Get Away, that's by the Rolling Stones. Tom Donahue here with Phil and Jerry. Let's see you talk a little bit about Otis Redding.
Oh, well, we worked with Otis.
Yeah.
And it's kind of scary to work with Otis.
Yeah, Otis is really heavy.
I thought he would do better here than he did.
He tore him up.
He tore the place apart.
But I mean, as far as people were concerned, I don't think he had the number of people.
Well, maybe nobody knows.
Yeah, maybe not too many people knew about it. That could have been it. But, boy, you know, he had one of the standard shots where the band would get up and play some numbers and a girl singer would come up and, you know, some groove and stuff like that, you know, the whole show, you know.
the standard show.
Yeah, like when he came on stage, it was like the whole place got about six times as big, and the band just got real snappy, you know, and it was so fun, and the music was really good. And like, you know, when you go to those shows, most of the time, like the James Brown show, the music is like not really where it's at with the James Brown show. The circus part is what it's all about, kind of. And with Otis Redding, the music is still what's happening, you know, and it's just so good, you know, really. Wow.
This is from the LP entitled Complete and Unbelievable, the Otis Redding Dictionary of Soul, and it's Day Tripper. That's Otis and Day Tripper, and this is Tom Donahue with Jerry Garcia and Phil Lesh, and we're going to play something from the Grateful Dead album. We figure it's about time. And
before the police get here.
Right. And the one that Jerry picked out is Cold Rain and Snow.
Thank you.
Vince, if you'll turn that over, I'm going to play my selection from the LP as we get out of here. I want to thank you fellas for coming around to talk to us tonight. It's been very interesting.
Oh, sure, Tom. That's all right. Anytime.
Anytime, right? And we're going to have Pigpen back. And,
oh, good.
Oh, yeah, that'll be fun.
That'll be good. If you can get him out of the house, it'll be... a revolutionary,
yeah,
to
well,
say
I was
the least.
Sort of figuring that you guys would take care of that part of it.
Well, if we can get him up early
enough. Big enough.
Yeah. you get him down here, and then I'll find a way to hold him in the studio.
I think you can do it.
Okay, we're going out of here with something by the Grateful Dead called the New Minglewood Blues.